Welcome to Sestercast, the Orphan Black podcast. I'm Jean McDonald, and I'm watching this series for the third time. My co-host, Kathy Campbell, is watching for the first time, and so we make sure not to spoil any storylines beyond the episode that we are currently discussing. Hey, Kathy, how are you today?
I am doing so good. It's lovely weather that I love. My absolutely favorite. Rainy, cold, cozy. And I get to talk with you. It's kind of going to be a perfect day.
It's a nice day. We're starting off early with a little Sestercast. And we've had a little bit of a hiatus due to our various travels. And it's nice to be back and to move forward with this season. Because as always, like when we start to be in episode 7, 8, I just want to get to the end.
I know.
I want to get to
it's so hard to like not want to just binge it.
Right. Yeah. So,
but it's also, again, you know, we've talked about this every single time. It's so good to be deliberate with the show and mm-hmm. with watching it and what I'm thinking about it and taking the notes and whatnot and really enjoy it like a fine wine.
Yeah. Or a fine bourbon, yes. Which is Sarah's drink, which we knew. So this episode we are discussing is season 4, episode 7, which is called The Anti-Socialism of Sex. Again, another title from Donna Haraway, the historian and scholar and author of The Cyborg Manifesto. And this episode is very much a coda to last week's episode, or episode 6, where so many bad things happened.
Yes,
and
all bad things.
We cried and we did not laugh very much at all.
No.
And so it's an interestingly paced episode with the various Sestras taking stock of where they are after all this trauma. And because they've done it that way, we are able to discuss these clone by clone, as it were.
Yes.
Starting as usual with Allison and Donnie and slumber party.
Yes. Oh my god.
Talk about worst slumber party ever.
It's so funny just because, I mean, we didn't have any Allison last week.
Right.
And we missed them. Let's be honest. I missed them a little bit. And so we come in here and it starts out with Allison just like crying as she's writing a card to Siobhan. Like she knows, like she's having a hard time with the death of Kendall. Mm-hmm. I think it's not just because, you know, this was the original and whatnot. She's tired. She's mm-hmm. so tired of everything and just like emotionally drained. You can just tell. And writing a beautiful card and has beautiful flowers. Mm-hmm. And Donnie, like she just collapses on the ground and Donnie comes in and it's just like, oh, let's cancel Gemma's slumber party. Like, mm-hmm. and of course, Allison being Allison is like, no, we can't. We have to keep things normal. Let's you know, try and make this as normal as possible. Everything's mm-hmm. going to be fine. At one point, she says, there are hot dogs in the freezer, mister. I'm putting my foot down, which I thought was hilarious. It's so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, she just wants to try and keep normalcy in place for her kids, which, you know, that's an honorable way to do it. And yet mm-hmm. it's as we will see, it's not quite maybe the best idea.
No, maybe it ends up being the worst idea, but yeah. So yeah, Allison is, you know, of course there's decorations and she's running around and she's really like serious, like Miss Allison, kind of from the beginning of the series, just, you know, trying to hold it together. And she is doing so many little crafty things around the house. And Donnie says, you know, you don't really want to, I really want you to talk to somebody, even if it's not me. So I invited Reverend Mike to help with the ghost stories. I'm like, really? Like, and I, you know, one of the, I was looking at some recaps, you know, from when the episode came out, and people pretty much generally pointed to that as being like the dumbest idea, you know, like why Reverend Mike? And he, you know, he does try to, wheedle out of Allison, you know, what, why she's having a hard time. And, she's not having it. She's Allison, like, no, you know, it's challenges, but you know, we can cope with them. I think the best thing about Reverend Mike, and probably the reason that they brought him in, is for him to say, by the way, we're done with whatever thing they were doing in their theater. And now the stage is available for the Allison and Sarah Stubbs, you know, project.
Right.
And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that's the purpose of this whole interaction, as well as getting a little bit of almost a bad guy that she can slay, mm-hmm. kind of like mm-hmm. has a moment to be able to be successful with something.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't really involved in Kendall at all.
Right.
She kind of failed at keeping Helena present.
Mm-hmm.
And like all of these things have just kind of like not been successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to like, oh, okay, I can tell you what I think about you, Reverend, but also, hey, let's get a play going.
Yes. We haven't had a play.
I know.
In a while. So, yes, I'm excited about that. And you know, it's like the typical slumber party when you say, you know, my experiences as an attendee as well as a helper. The birthday girl is grumpy. There's so much going on. The girls are all, you know, excited. And then the questionable, in my mind, you know, choice of entertainment is Donnie telling ghost stories.
Right. I thought that was very interesting choices.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Donnie's choice. And it makes sense because they have to have the dramatic thing to come, which, I mean, I guess we can kind of talk about now because the ghost stories span like a couple of little bits.
They're very garden variety ghost stories.
Yeah, including like, I like how it interlinked like having cupcakes.
Yes, that was very that was very Allison, like, you know.
Yes. Oh, we must have a ghost story with cupcakes, and then we'll have the cupcakes for the yeah, it was very cute.
Right.
And it, also in the ghost story, it's knocks on the door, yeah. which is a fairly traditional, you know, ghost story move. But then there's a real knock on the door, and who is it but the police?
Yeah, they're back.
And I loved the artistic choice of having the happy, happy, happy birthday music playing while these policemen come in. And like, it's like a hardcore raid.
Yeah.
They're coming in, like throwing Donnie on the ground, like arresting him. Like, it's not a nice gentle thing at all.
And the girls are like running around screaming and balloons are getting popped and like,
getting squished.
Yeah. The idea of having a normal birthday party for Gemma, is like, poof, nope. About the weirdest birthday party ever.
Yeah. Which I thought was very, very interesting.
Yeah. And so they're arresting Donnie for drug trafficking, which, you know, to be fair, he is totally guilty of.
Right.
And
but I found it very interesting that it wasn't Allison too.
I know. Well, but then comes Duco, walks in, and you know, to confront Allison, and you know, in his smarmiest mode of how are you holding up, you know, that Kendall was quite a loss. And here's, you know, my card. We're going to have to keep in close touch. So, you know, the inference being that this has nothing to do with drug trafficking and everything to do with Neolution.
Yes. Which is unsurprising. Gosh, yeah. That Dugo, I swear.
He is. He's the creepiest.
Creepy.
Somebody on the Facebook Clone Club posted a thing for a play that he's in like Toronto, the actor. And I said, you know, there's some people who are just so creepy. I feel like I'll never be able to watch them in anything else. And I would say he's one of them. On the other hand, you know, I did manage to accept Ferdinand as Spock's father in the new Star Trek. So I don't know about Dooku though. Ferdinand had some redeeming, amazing qualities.
Humanity to him.
I don't know
it
about that.
Difficult to have Dooku. Dooku's just kind of a jerk.
Yeah. So I think that's where we leave Allison and Donnie. Cliffhanger.
In jail.
So that's going to, hopefully they will deal with that in the next episode and not leave us hanging too long. And then we decide to tackle Rachel, which is the opening scene, the cold open from this episode is in Susan's house. House isn't really the word for that palatial mansion in the middle of nowhere. But Rachel is coming up the stairs from her, you know, basically her cell. She's never been upstairs before. Nobody's stopping her. Her door was unlocked and she's...
Yeah, there was like a clicking noise. So it like came unlocked.
Oh, I see.
Which I heard, which was interesting.
I didn't hear
but
that. Okay.
Because she heard it while she was practicing her walking.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, it's so heartbreaking to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so painful. And then she had to walk up the stairs. Like, that was mm-hmm. also hard to watch.
Yeah.
But it was so, she walks up and she's free and she sees this gigantic, big tome that
yes.
looks old and gilded and
yeah.
it's on like one of those stands that they have like at
big
churches.
Book, Bible, yeah. Bigger than the Bible.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And they find out that they're on the island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah. Well, she says she sees the book, which turns a page and she sees the, you know, the engraving of illustration of Lita and the Swan. So, of course, that's where the Lita project gets its name. And at this point, she said hello, but nobody had answered her. But then Susan sits up from the couch where we hadn't seen her before, and she says, it's over, you know, and welcome to the island of Dr. Moreau, which was interesting, and gets more interesting, I think, as the season progresses. But, you know, Susan's like, the original is destroyed and the cure is destroyed along with it. And cloning is over for Neolution. So it's a beautiful scene. I'm sure you noticed that, just the colors,
oh, yeah.
the palette of that, because they're in a snowy place and they're wearing white and the furniture is very modern and atonal.
Clean and, lines and just it feels very bright and open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Rachel's getting some bad news.
just a little bit.
And then you know, and the whole time the Rachel plot line of this is all at Susan's house. So it is almost like one big scene. And Susan tells her about the book. She says, you know, not many people know this. This is like the secret history of Neolution. And this book was written by Percival Westmoreland founder of Neolution, who had been an industrialist in the Victorian age and had, you know, funded a secret society. And Rachel is still pushing back against Susan's like defeatism, basically, and saying, "How can you give up? I want to take my place with you." And Susan is like, "No, you know, it's Evie has usurped us." And it is kind of funny that Susan has lasted this long.
Right.
And then she has seemed to give up pretty easily. But yeah, as I was watching it, I thought, you know, if Rachel wants something, it's Rachel's going to get it.
So. Yeah, she's going to do whatever it takes because yeah. That's how she was trained, basically.
Yeah.
That's how she was raised, was to kind of do whatever she wants.
A lot of this takes place like in interior. There's a safe house. There's Susan's house. There's the Hendrix's house. So my notes are like house, bar.
House. Yes. Well, and then the next, and we can talk about Evie again a mm-hmm. little bit. And she shows her shingles.
Yes.
Which looks so painful.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Her
horrible.
Right. And she says, you know, like, so they've got patented a new version of the bot, the maggot bot, and Evie's going to get the first one, so it's not too late. And it was interesting. The I did read the MarySue.com science recap of this episode. There's not much science in this one, obviously, but the one thing that they talked about was Evie's shingles and why would she have shingles? Because shingles. You can't get shingles unless you've had chicken pox. And she was like a bubble boy type person, you know, with the severe compromised immunities. So right. It's unlikely she ever got chicken pox as a kid. But they suggested that maybe they've tried using the chicken pox virus as a vector to deliver gene therapy. And that is why she has shingles now. And the fact that I can just explain all that without notes shows you that I got some educational value out of watching Orphan Black. I feel
I'm
like
so impressed.
I'm ready to go on Jeopardy now. Genetics right. for $800. Anyway, so
the things we learn.
Yeah, we do. That's a real thing. That's not a, you know, that's not fake science. So. Yeah. Now, what next about Rachel? Is that Rachel now, and Charlotte?
No, oh. We're back and Ira comes in.
Oh, right.
We have a video meeting, basically, with a fancy see-through monitor, which I thought was kind of a interesting little touch there in technology land.
Yeah.
But just back to Ira and Susan.
Yeah.
The fact that he calls her mother.
That's the first time he's called her mother, I think.
I think so. And you could tell that he's pissed.
He's at pissed. Her.
So pissed. But also, like, I just got a little,
yeah. I do like Rachel saying, "Oh, it's fortunate you found such an ineffective means of suicide." Because Susan is happy, at least like she'll have Ira to dote on her in her now, you know, sudden retirement.
Right. I also like that he was not involved in the video conference. Mm-hmm. So he kind of ran the technology and stood to the side, mm-hmm. but did not like partake in mm-hmm. the conversation, which I thought was very interesting. And so basically Evie is just kind of gloating like, yeah. All right, we're in charge. Lita is dismantled for its assets. Clones are cut loose, except for Sarah and the Sestras, like are still a threat. And Rachel's like, I'll help with them.
I know.
I mean, and he's just like, no, you suck.
Rachel, really, it was like with no hesitation, she would help Evie, who, you know, is no friend of hers, to eliminate, you know, the Sestras, with whom she has some bond, even if it's not not always like a close or friendly bond. I'd say, I don't know. That was heartless. I was very, very found that to be one of the coldest things Rachel has ever said, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows that she hasn't really learned. Mm-mm. Or like hasn't really changed. There's not a whole lot of growth that we're seeing in her.
No.
Outside of like her eyes fixing and whatnot. Like she's not really changing into a better person.
No. And then, you know, that's when she gets hit with the news from Evie, who says, like, do you actually think Nia Lucian would let a clone take a position of real importance?
Right.
That's when I said, oh, Evie, you messed with the wrong clone.
Like, she is going to, yeah.
She's going to mess with you. I mean, if it were Helena, you'd be dead already somehow. But
you're lucky that it's just Rachel. She will murder your career instead of your actual body. But yeah, it... Don't mess with her.
Yeah. So that was good. And Evie, I mean, I don't know this actress from anything else, but the actress who plays her is doing a really good job, because she is really combining this like lot of like, you know, cold and evil with vulnerable and smart, you know, and charming, if you like that, but she wouldn't.
Yeah.
So good for her. So now the next scene is with Charlotte and Rachel, right?
Yes.
And Charlotte is telling her a little bit about the island. She says it's really big. It's like the size of a country. And there's monsters.
Right.
Rachel says, you and I are the only monsters here. We have a problem. You have a problem, and I have a problem. You're sick. I'm sick, and there is no cure. Because Charlotte coughs up some blood while they're chatting and
painting
and painting. And Charlotte's, you know, very blasé about the whole thing.
I know. I was shocked. I was expecting a little bit more of a like. Reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh hey, you're dying.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much she knew.
Yeah.
Like that's she's used to coughing a lot of blood.
Right.
Like,
and she's used to having tests done, and she's, you know, I guess she probably feels like there's nothing that Susan can't cure or whatever.
Right.
But
even though like the whole means of the cure is done, like gone, mm-hmm. and removed. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she's never been my favorite character, honestly. Like she's a little bit too much like a little cyborg herself.
Just kind of, it just feels not, and I mean, obviously they're clones, and so mm-hmm. there's no authentic, like, honesty, but she just feels inauthentic as a character, like not very believable. The last bit is Rachel's walking downstairs and falls and is having a glitch or a hallucination or something and sees a swan, and Ira comes to help her and she's just like, do you see it mm-hmm. see it? And then like it pixelates out of her vision. So I thought that was very odd.
Yes.
which obviously, I mean, it's Orphan Black. It's going to be that way. But like, I wonder if she's seeing it out of her fake eye,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it is happening, or if she's legit glitching. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think we were meant to think that's, you know, something's wrong with her artificial eye, but the fact that there's a swan is really like menacing feeling, not menacing, but like it's staring at her. It's like, ooh, swan.
Swans are books in the first place, yeah. and anyone that's interacted with them knows that it, like, it would totally be a jerk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, so that wraps up Rachel for this episode. She's certainly been activated, I think, for some anti-Evie Joe plot, probably.
Yes.
Something is going to happen to Evie.
She's been triggered.
Yes. You don't put Rachel in a corner. Nobody puts Rachel in the corner. So now we want to circle around to Cosima.
Yeah.
And Cosima is, she had the worst, you know, experience last week. Last episode.
With good reason.
Yes. I mean, she had to witness Kendall's being, you know, killed in, right in front of her, and had to take all the Evie Cho crap
right.
about, you know, this is it. You know, we're done with cloning. And also, by the way, your girlfriend's dead. And that was just mean. So.
So harsh. So she's had a bad couple of days. on top of the fact that because the original is dead, she probably won't have a cure.
Right.
Like, so she's sensing her own mortality. And I mean, all of her research and stuff is gone too.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, they hit her hard. And mm-hmm. and it, I just, it's so sad. It's mm-hmm. it, and so she gets a moment where she gets to, you know, lay down in her pot room and and just kind of try and breathe. And I feel it. I feel for her. I feel for all of that. And it just, it's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah. But then yeah. Mr. Sunshine.
Yes.
Scotty comes in, our favorite lab guy, yes. and he's
bringing her bad coffee and a good croissant.
Yes, that's your favorite. It's your favorite. That's the lab partner you want. And then he starts turning on their computers, and she's like, you know, what are you doing? Like, everything is wiped. And he's like, well, I'm going to power everything up again and see, you know. So, yeah, like all the clones this week, not except for Allison, you know, I've been like, I give up. I'm done.
Yeah, they're just kind of like.
And then there's Scotty, you know, who's saying like, no, I'm going to see if I can do anything with this. And Hell Wizard comes over and he says, nope, it's totally wiped, you know, so there's no recovery of the data. And Scotty is just trying to be like positive, and he says like, we you know, Cosima gives him like five reasons why there's no point bothering anymore. The data's gone, the samples are gone, the sequences are gone, whatever. And he says, well, let's think outside of the box. And Hell Wizard is like, yeah, that's right, you should listen to your lab partner. And Cosima's like, yeah, she's dead too, no offense, right. Scotty. And that's one of Scotty's best lines. It's like, some taken, actually.
Yeah.
That was mean. And that was very, you know, out of character mean for Cosima. But she's.
Yeah. And that's kind of how you know how much she's hurting,
mm-hmm.
And how angry she is, because she's not normally a mean person. She's normally mm-hmm. very optimistic and happy-go-lucky and loving and appreciates Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she's not that person
yeah.
at all is really hard.
Yeah. But then she remembers she had nicked the maggot bot from that was Sarah's during the whole Sarah bot removal procedure that she had done at Brightborn with Evie. And so she's like, oh, well, here's something we could, you know, look at and maybe figure something out. Which I'm like, no, not a good idea. Probably not
let's
a good
not
idea.
Not mess with that, because you know what she's gonna do. And I was just like, yeah, that's not great.
Scotty says like, we wouldn't even know how would we implant it or whatever. And Cosima's like, well, you just cut open, you know, cheek and put it in there. And I'm like, oh no, 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 don't do that.
Don't do this. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, Scotty's like, it might work or it might not. We have just no idea. No matter, you know, what we know about it, we don't know enough. It was a spot that was created for Sarah. And as far as they knew, it didn't have any impact on Sarah, but Sarah doesn't have the disease. So who knows what would happen with Cosima. But Cosima is so at the bottom. I was surprised, actually, that she was – they had just ordered food. They had upstairs, you know, like some takeout, Hell Wizard. And I thought, isn't she hungry? Like, doesn't she want to have some food first? But I guess if you're going to do surgery on yourself, you're not supposed to eat.
But also I doubt that she has much hunger in the first place.
Yeah, that's true when you're really that down.
Yeah, and grieving that much. And yeah, it's just – yeah, it's hard.
So she goes, she sort of says, oh, like going back downstairs for something. And then you hear the lock. I heard that lock of that door. And now she's, you know, Scotty's like, oh, no, no, banging on the door. You know, you don't know what that bot will do. I like, they were really like trying to bust it open, Hell Wizard and Scotty. Yes. And Hell Wizard says, like, I think we way overbuilt this.
I know. That was so cute. Also, I think, doesn't the door open out? Like,
it does, right?
Yeah. So they're trying to break it backwards.
Oh. Yeah, that's true.
Which, like, yeah, that's not really going to work very well with just your physical body. Especially Ouch. If you're not. Yeah, it sounds painful is what that sounds like.
Yeah.
But that's fine. They tried.
And, you know, while this is going on, Scotty calls Felix and, you know, kind of like, I need to find somebody to talk some sense into Cosima. And he is telling Felix, like, you know, she's going to do something crazy. She feels responsible for Kendall. She feels responsible for Delphine. And Felix is like, oh, Delphine, Crystal, shoot, put her on the line, put her on the line. And finally, Cosima picks up the phone when Scott says it's something about Delphine. And yeah. Felix is like, whatever cracked out science thing you're about to do, you know, stop. Because somehow on Crystal's misguided but oddly effective investigation, she was on the trail of Delphine, you know. And so Crystal had seen Delphine get shot and she had seen her be taken away alive. And that stops Cosima from putting the worm bot into her cheek. Thank goodness.
Yes, which I'm so thankful for. And especially with the fact that Delphine might still be alive. Like, yeah. Someone might still be alive. I'm so excited.
I know. So let's see. Delphine was knocked off. You know, we saw her get shot at the end of season 3. So, so it's been 7 episodes with no Delphine and no hope of Delphine.
Like, yeah, it just didn't. There was no mention. There was no, like, soft possibility. Mm-mm. So you just don't even think about it until this bomb drops. And you're just like, what?
Yeah. So that's Cosima. Thank goodness we leave her. You know, her cliffhanger is like, well, if Delphine's alive, now what?
Right.
What do I do? And now we are... Now we can talk about Sarah, who has the wildest night of them all.
In so many ways.
Yeah. yeah, it actually kind of made me, the word, not nauseous, but just like, well, watching her drink gave me sympathetic stomach problem.
Yeah, the amount of alcohol in her system was just making me feel gross.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they start out, it's Siobhan and Sarah in their safe house, and Siobhan's in the kitchen, Sarah's upstairs in Kira's bedroom, and they're both like sad and contemplating. This is like a mode of this episode.
Yes. And there's some anger in there too.
But like, yeah. Then when Sarah's, you know, comes down to talk to Siobhan, then Siobhan is mad.
Yeah. At Sarah, which is not, I mean, Siobhan handles things so well.
Mm-hmm. Usually.
And the fact that her mom is dead after they finally like came back together because she didn't like her mom very, like she was angry at her mom in the first place. And now is like, it just, the whole thing just kind of, I just feel so bad for Mrs. S. Like she tries so hard to take care of everybody and then she gets screwed over and it's sad.
Yeah. But she does say a couple things, you know, that are like classic TV, like lines you're going to regret to Sarah because, you know, Sarah tries to say, well, I feel bad about Kendall, too. She was my blood as well. And Siobhan says, you came to me an orphan and that's all you'll ever be. That was unnecessarily harsh. I wasn't really sure why she said that, but she... Yeah. She was mad. I mean, so Sarah's like, well, I guess I don't need to stay. And Mrs. S says, well, you're not taking Kira wherever you're going. And Sarah leaves, you know, she's mad and she leaves and they switch the shot back to Kira in bed. Her eyes are open now. And, you know, it's like Kira's taking it all in, even if she isn't in the room, she can feel what's going on.
Yeah, whatever empathic skills this girl has, like she's feeling it hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's heartbreaking because this one's her mom. This is her mommy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and it even gets, you know, even more sad when Felix comes over and he's trying to comfort Mrs. S, but then he asks, where's Sarah? And, you know, S says she's gone. And Kira comes downstairs and she says, Mommy left again. And Felix is like, no, she doesn't do that anymore. And Kira's like, no, she did. And, you know, that Kira, so they know that Kira knows. Like, so if Kira says she's like left, like she used to leave, you know, and abandoned Kira in the old days, then they should be worried, you know. And Felix is like, listen to me, he says to Kira. Don't listen to S, which is an unusual thing for anybody to say, because we usually always listen to S, but don't listen to S. I'm going to go find her. She's the glue that holds us together. So that is a kind of a theme for the Sarah part. And then, you know, they switch to a bar where Sarah is drinking shots.
All
multiple
the
shots of bourbon. And it's
all the shots and beer. Like, and we flash back at some point to these beers coming in, and like, I feel so nauseous just thinking about it.
And then Dizzy shows up, which I
well,
was
before
like,
that, though, oh. She sees Beth in the mirror.
Yeah. Oh, she does?
Those Beth
appearances, like, if you blink, you could miss them. And I saw later on, you know, Beth showing up in the mirror, but I didn't. So in the mirror, like behind the bar?
Behind the bar, yeah. Oh. When she's ordering two more, it flashes to Beth in the mirror. And she's just like, oh my goodness. And then also Siobhan is talking to Art about Kendall.
Oh, yeah.
Like asking Art to like figure out what happened. And this is when we get a little bit of Art in the future because Duco's involved.
Yeah. And he tells that to S, you know, he says, and he's the one who drove Beth to try to kill Susan. Like, so... You know, I'm like, so you're telling this like Irish assassin the name of a police officer that killed her mother.
This is not going to end well for him, but I feel like that's okay.
That's okay. I know. Yes.
Does art know how badass Siobhan is?
I feel like he must at this point.
I don't know if he knows that she's an assassin, though.
Yeah. Because then there's another scene later where she's cleaning a gun, which is great. Yeah, like, if you forgot what, you know, where she came from,
don't mess with Siobhan.
Don't mess with Siobhan. Funny. So, but as you said, then Art, there's a scene, you know, for Art, you know, that comes after this at the police station where he tricks Duco.
Yes. But before that, let's have some more bar time with Sarah and Dizzy and a lady comes and says, hey, this guy's buying you a drink. Mm-hmm. And Sarah's like, okay, I want to meet him. Mm-hmm. And they start hanging out a lot more, including making out, and they're taking some drugs and like... They happen to go back into the bathroom when Felix shows up at the bar. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're expecting Felix to be able to come in and save the day.
I know.
But he can't at this point because they don't meet up.
No. He talks to Dizzy. And Dizzy lets on that he knows Sarah because he says, judging by your accent, you must be related. And, you know... He says, I haven't seen her, but, you know, if I do, who shall I say is looking for her? And that's when Felix says, like, you know, it's her brother, you know, it's important, it's about her daughter. And that's when Dizzy finds out that Sarah has a daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically, there's like this, Dizzy shows up and Sarah, all she wants to do is get drunk. But Dizzy's trying to ask her about, you know, the bot and, you know, just, it's like you're at a party and somebody wants to talk about work. That's how she feels about Dizzy. And then this, you know, when these other people come up and they're like, work, what's work? You know, let's do shots and let's do coke and let's, you know, let's make out like heavily, you know, let's have all but, you know, threesome, you know, here in the back room.
Oh, I'm sure they had a threesome, but they just didn't show it.
Yeah. Right. I didn't want to imply that that's what they showed. No, it was pretty well filmed, all of that.
It was beautifully shot. And as they're doing the coke is when Beth makes another appearance.
Yeah, which sort of fits. And by the way, the band that's playing on the stage, the performer, Peaches, is her name, and she's doing she does two different songs, and that's you know, the one of them, Body Line, which is the first one she's doing. Like, definitely people were saying, like, in the comments for this episode, like, they wish they could have seen more of the band because the band's so awesome and the songs are awesome. But so the BBC did put out an extended version.
Nice.
And I'll put a link to that in the show notes to that. And then that other song, which is, you know, Boys Want to Be Here or Girls Want to Be Here. It's like, that was really good music for this scene, as usual.
Although I feel like they almost showed too much of it because I felt it really cut from the story, but I can see why people, you know, it was a good song and whatnot, but I was just like, okay, I get it. Your band.
Okay.
You're playing. It was fine.
All right. So what do you want to hit next?
Well, next up is, well, we flash back. That's when Mrs. S is cleaning her guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the threesome, happy fun times, Sarah joins back up with Dizzy. Mm-hmm. And Tito is like telling Dizzy to piss off. And Sarah's like, hey, don't tell my mate Dizzy to piss off. And like she's flipping out and getting angry. And she basically starts a fight with Tito. And Dizzy's like, okay, let's get out of here.
He carries her out of there. He says, it's like babysitting some kind of football hooligan.
Right. And gives her another pill to take her down a bit. And so they start making out. but he still, he wants help because more than just her friend had a bot. So they basically, they start making out and she's sucking on his thumb and he realizes that the implant isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so wants her to like find out how, wants mm-hmm. to find out from her how she got it out. And like Sarah's just not having it. Oh, he wants to talk now. And like, he wants to help the rest of his friends that mm-hmm. have these implants. And like, she just gets angry and sees Beth again and mm-hmm. just like all of it's just not going well. Sarah's, you know, coming down from the high, I'm sure, of cocaine and whatever was in the pill that she got, and just like she's just done. And we then see Kira again, mm-hmm. who is, you know, staring out the window and it's just like, is it really mommy's fault that granny died? And Mrs. S is just like, oh, it's more complicated. And they're like trying to talk things. And Kara says, like, you know, mommy thinks it's her fault, which is why she ran away. And Mrs. S says, no, she'll be back. And Kara's like, no, she won't. This time she's following Beth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we get hardcore Beth time.
Yeah.
Sarah is on a bridge trying to get like a train ticket. And she's like, she sees Beth's shoes and purse like mm-hmm. she did in the very first episode. And then she sees Beth and it's just like, Beth tries to offer the credit card and then is like, oh, wait, you've already maxed it out. And so, like, Sarah's cycling in this guilt and hate for herself and sadness. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of these things are coming in on top of, you know, all of the medication, both drug and alcohol that are yeah. in her system. And it's just like, it's not. She's spiraling down really bad. Mm-hmm. And is like shouting at Beth. And Beth is like telling her, oh, hey, the jump is only 40 feet, so you wouldn't die. Like, so yeah. she can't even commit suicide by jumping off the bridge because then she'd still be alive. And at this point, Mrs. S is just like, wait a second, this isn't normal. Kira said something, you know, and so she calls Felix to try and save Sarah, Felix is talking to Scott to try and save mm-hmm. Cosima. So Felix is being Superman right now.
Yeah, he is Superman in this one.
Yeah, and like, I just feel so bad for Felix because I'm sure he feels a little guilty that he didn't tell Cosima about Delphine yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then also wants to try and save his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with what Kira said about following Beth, like yeah. Felix knows where she is. So she runs to the train, or he heads over to the train station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he's in a cab and it's like, oh, I, you know, stop, I see her, you know, gets out and she's just crying and just like emotionally exhausted. You can just feel the exhaustion rolling off of her as she's like trying to jump, about ready to jump off the bridge basically. Mm-hmm. And Felix is just like, there's more than just biology between us, Sarah. Bring us together, Sarah, we need you.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point is when Beth leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, yeah. Okay.
And Felix and Sarah hug. Yeah. Yeah. Best brother ever.
Yeah. He's pretty great.
I love how this wraps up, this storyline wraps up back at the house with S and Sarah.
It's very quiet.
No, like, no dialogue.
No dialogue. Nothing was needed, though. Mm-hmm. Like they're connecting again.
Mm-hmm.
They're having their moments of, yes, you're still my mom. I still love you. I'm sorry type like apologies in there, but also like, yeah, let's get through this together.
Yeah. Yeah. All said through the language of breakfast.
Yes. Which is a very important meal of the day.
Yes. Maybe the most important meal.
And if you want some breakfast journalism, listen to our friends, Brian Hamilton and Allison Trudge on Most Important Meal, if you like breakfast. Yes. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah. So then the last thing we see there is Kira's upstairs playing Minecraft. Yes. And her suddenly on her screen pops up Sheep Mask clone, a.k.a. MK.
Yeah, and she arrives to talk to Kira.
And that's it. We don't know
what she says.
So no, we have another cliffhanger.
Kira does make a comment on how this is, she's the girl in the shadows.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we know Kira's can sense her too.
You're right, right.
And whatever that means. So she knows who this is, even if she doesn't know specifics, but she knows that she's a clone and whatnot. And so it'll be interesting to see how that comes.
Yeah. We can't wait till episode 8.
I know. Oh my goodness, we're ramping up to the end of the season, and then we have one season left. What the heck?
I can't wait to watch it. Well, so wrap up.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of SesterCast. I hope you'd enjoyed it as much as we enjoy talking about Orphan Black. Feel free to leave us a review on iTunes. Let other fans of the show, other fans of Orphan Black find our show. And you can find us on Twitter. We are at SesterCast. Jean is at MacGenie and I am at Mrs. Soup. You can find all our other episodes online at SesterCast.com, where we are a part of the amazing Incomparable Network. And we hope you have an absolutely amazing day.